Good morning. It's good to be here with you, celebrating the Lord. Just a wonderful time of year. I have had the privilege of a second career. Started out 25 years as pastor, but now I'm in my 10th year as bus driver in the city of Victoria. You get a whole new view of Christmas when you're out there. In the bus, yeah. So if we have time, I'll share a few things about that. We'll update you a little bit. I'd like to start with scripture, and it's the very scripture that Pastor Ralph has mentioned. The people walking in darkness, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. We talk about light and darkness, but let's not talk about them as though they're equal. There's some religions that create an equality between the darkness of evil and the light of good. Now, you can take light and bring it into darkness. And what happens? The darkness goes away. What happens if you try to take darkness and bring it into light? It goes away. Still the darkness goes away, right? There's something unequal there, isn't there? They're not equal things. And certainly the light of God supersedes and overshadows the darkness of this world, doesn't it? As I think about this wonderful prophecy from Isaiah and that God, through him, gave the world this wonderful reminder that he was going to send a very, very special person from heaven, his very own son. And at this time of year, I like to remind myself of the question, what would have happened if Jesus had never come? What would this world be like if Jesus had never arrived in this world? I know we hear lots of bad stuff in the news, and bad news sells, doesn't it? And so the stations are probably giving us about a 10-to-1 ratio, bad news to good news. But there's a really cool book that I read a number of years ago. I think James Kennedy was the author of it. He did evangelism seminars, and it had posed that question, what if Jesus had never come? The whole book listed advances in all fields of endeavor, especially educational fields, fields of medicine and hospitals and that sort of thing. And it just went right down the line saying, these advancements in our civilization were inspired by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. His coming inspired and warmed and renovated the hearts of people so that they wanted to contribute light to this world and not just add to its darkness. What a wonderful thing that is. One of the big things that is mentioned in his book is literacy for the common person. You know, that wasn't a given in ancient times. It wasn't necessarily so that everyone could read and write, from the poorest to the most wealthy. It was usually reserved for the more upper echelon, the more wealthy. However, with the coming and the spreading of the Bible and the Word of God, especially as Reformation took hold in Europe, the word got out that it shouldn't just be the priests who could read the Bible. It should be everyone that could read it and hear from God themselves. This is one of those light beams of light that God has brought into the world. And our educational system, even our secular educational system, has accepted that concept and accepted the idea that every child should learn to read and write. But there you have it. I'd like to also give you another verse. This is kind of the results of our Lord Jesus coming into this world. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. For once, this is Paul talking to people who have come to believe in Jesus and receive his light. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Light. The light of God. If we think of it as some kind of miraculous grace, some kind of miraculous renewing power of God to mend our hearts, to lift our aspirations higher, to cause us to love what is good and what is right, instead of rejoicing in the hurt of other people. This is his light having its effect. However, sometimes our perception is not always so good. I want to give you another verse where Jesus gives a warning about mistaking light for darkness and darkness for light. A very interesting verse that our Lord Jesus gives us from Matthew chapter 6 and verses 22 and 23. Jesus said, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" What is he talking about? What is he talking about? He's talking about our perception. It's kind of like he says, if your eye is good, everything's fine. Your eye being your ability to perceive. We talk about people looking at the world with a jaundiced eye. Have you ever heard that expression? Where they're skeptical. Everything they see, you know, even the good stuff, they go, well, it's not real, you know. And yeah, that person looked like he's being good to that person, but really he's trying to get something out of him, you know. So you look at the world with a jaundiced eye and you can't see anything good happening because it's, you know, the perception, everything coming in gets warped. Warped into a new interpretation. And it's dark. A dark interpretation. So also you talk about people wearing rose-colored glasses. And it's kind of the opposite, right? You know, you show them anything and they go, "Oh, isn't that wonderful?" You know, and I'm sure it's not that bad, you know, and so they're seeing the same thing everybody else is seeing, but they're seeing it through another lens, right? And I think that's what Jesus is talking about here, is the kind of lens that you see things with. Now, if this works out, Russ, can you show that little picture on the screen here? What kind of lens do you look at this picture with? Okay, are those horizontal lines tilted? Or are you tilted? Are you tilted? There we go. Somebody's blocking out their eyes. Okay. All right. So here we have a perception problem, don't we? The lines going across are all horizontal, and they'd look perfectly straight if you didn't have those pesky boxes in between, right? Yeah. If you didn't have the pesky boxes in between, they'd all be straight. We had another really good one that we couldn't get an image for that just simply was showing two walls coming together, and it was drawn in perspective, and there was a line for the vertical of where the walls meet far away, seemingly far away, and then there was a vertical line for the edge of the wall seemingly closer, and your mind fixed the image so that you thought the line in the where the walls met was smaller than the line where the edge of the wall was closer, supposedly. And the truth of the matter was, in that illusion, the lines were equally the same size. So what do we get from this? Jesus is saying, people see the same thing in the world. People hear a lot of the same thing. People hear the same gospel about Jesus. But what their minds do with it, like what your mind did with that picture up here, is an important question. We don't want to turn his light into darkness in our minds. We don't want to warp the things that God gives us and misconstrue them and nullify them when they are full of his power and his grace if they are received properly, right? So let's continue to perceive light as light and enjoy the beauty of what God has done for us. I think of Jesus, the more that I've taught scripture and thought and this and that, I think of Jesus as the pinnacle of the human race. You could take all the great people, you know, and a lot of times they're only great because they just flattened other people and conquered them. But then you can even take the greats of the Bible, you know, Moses and Joseph and Daniel and David and those greats, and they're wonderful, but there were limits to what they could do for others, right? They could not. David could rescue his nation militarily, but he couldn't necessarily bring all his enemies to the light of God. He couldn't necessarily even bring his own family together, right? If you know the history of King David, even his family had some sad episodes. But when you look at Jesus, here is the highest person to ever be born into the human race, imbued with the power of God to transform hearts and to create a new nation that will live forever, an eternal nation and kingdom that he will create because of his blood shed on the cross. What an incredible thing. God's light in families. I've mentioned David's family. He needed a little more light to be shed, even in his own particular situation. How is it with your family? I know there's lots of struggles. There's lots of heartaches and heartbreaks. The more that we can allow God's light to come in, the more that we can welcome it, the more that we can be reflectors of his wonderful light, the better this will be for our own close families. Yeah, too often there is an erosion caused by the darkness, disagreement, selfishness, and that sort of thing. There is the confusion that occurs as well, which sometimes, as I said, depending on whether you have a jaundiced eye or rose-colored glasses, it can happen that there's a confusion of intention when people observe other people. We can blame others for darkness when we haven't really completely understood our part in what goes on. And it's really too bad when we become captives of the darkness, in the sense that we begin to see everything with bitterness or with pessimism or skepticism, and it starts to color everything that we look at. There's a story that sometimes is told by safety and training in the bus driving department that I've heard of a bus driver that he just was in the grips of negativism and pessimism, and he was getting up to his retirement age, and the guy that advanced to safety and training is telling the story. He said he'd bump into him at the washroom and asked him how he is, and this torrent of negativity, you know, oh, it's a bad day, you know, oh, these people, I had too many people on my bus today, and all this kind of thing, you know, and I wish they'd just take another bus, you know, and all that kind of thing. And the guy telling the story, who advanced to safety and training with, fortunately, a positive attitude intact, he said, finally, he just didn't want to get near me, didn't want to hear him. And the guy finally retired, and he was dead in less than 2 years. The negativity did that to him, probably. And then on the other hand, you have people like dear Vera Cummings, who's passed away. And I know she had her moments. I know she had her times where she'd snap and, you know, and this and that. But she'd wrench herself back and she'd get herself back together and she'd go, isn't it a beautiful day? You know? And you could see she was bringing that light back over and over again. And she wasn't going to be captive by the darkness. Sometimes it seems like there's darkness and light in regions of the earth and in various areas. I don't know, those of you who travel a lot, you may have stories about that kind of thing, but I traveled through a book called Paddle to the Amazon. It was given to me by my daughter's boyfriend last Christmas, and he knew I liked to canoe and things like that. So I finally picked it up and started reading it. And it's this most amazing journey from Winnipeg by canoe to the Amazon. Guinness Book of World Records, I don't think anybody's ever going to break it. And it was, and he go through these areas and these regions, and they even figured out how to canoe the coast of the Gulf of Mexico and the Caribbean. I mean, it's just scary. But they would go along the coast of Honduras, and they'd be approached, and you could just sense the darkness of people that were trying to prey on them or trying to get something from them. And then the Nicaragua, it was the Sandinistas and all that stuff, and it was in the 80s, and the guns and the suspicion, and they would have letters of entry and they would have government permission, and some places it didn't matter. And finally they got away. And then the coast of Colombia was a whole other thing with the drug trades. He talked about pie-eyed boaters trying to seize their canoe and stuff like that. And then and then the opposite. He come to some local indigenous communities where they were organized. They had very little, but they were organized. They had their society. They knew how to treat each other, and they treated them as foreigners, gringos, you know. Treated them with hospitality, fed them, bandaged their wounds, and that sort of thing. It's like, wow, the whole book was just this back and forth of light and darkness. I'm thinking of the another region in Brazil that I read about in another book. The Motolone people. Have you ever heard of the book Bruchko? I've mentioned it before in another sermon, but God's divine hand sent a young man from Minnesota, Scandinavian young man, to Venezuela and put on his heart to travel up to the untouched wilderness and minister to a group of people that were not in contact with our civilization. They were called the Motolone people. And he has since spoken at the Vancouver Mission Fest. His name is Bruce Olson. And he one time tells the story in his book about going through the forest with some of his friends, Motolone friends, and they happened upon a couple of fellas who were doing some strange things. One had climbed the highest tree in the area and was calling out to the horizon. I don't remember what it was he was saying, but he's, "Come help us," something like that, you know. "Where are you?" And the other one was digging a hole in the jungle. He was trying to get down deeper and deeper and deeper. And when they happened upon these two people, they finally got an idea of what was going on. Their friend, their dearly loved friend, had died. And they were trying somehow to reach the great Creator who had given us all life in the first place, an appeal to the great Creator for their friend who had died. This is very touching. And, of course, eventually, Bruce Olson had the opportunity to share Christ, but it had to be done in the right time, in the right way, so it would be accepted. So that was a really wonderful book of God's light coming to a new region and the people accepting Jesus as a whole. But, you know, there's that verse that says, Do not say, "Who will bring the Christ down from heaven and or up from the depths?" There's a verse along that line. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, these people in their darkness, the only way they knew how to do was to physically reach. And the Motolone concept of heaven is, guess where? It's not this way. The Motolone concept of heaven is the horizon. And he was calling to the horizon. Interesting. Well, I got a few things to relate regarding my struggle with darkness and light as a bus driver. I was driving a few weeks ago doing a 72 with a Decker down the highway, and they may all look like the same bus from the outside when you see a Decker going down the highway, but they all have different models and different switches and different beeps and squeaks and sounds and stuff. And all of a sudden, this shriek went on in the bus, and I'm trying to drive down the highway. I'm going, oh my goodness, you know, did I hit the master switch to turn the bus off? Or no, it's still on, you know, it didn't give me a real reading on the dash what was going on. Finally, I pulled over at Sayward and I got out, and first thing I thought of was the engine's probably on fire or something, you know. And I went around to the back of the bus. Nothing looked wrong. There was no oil coming out or anything like that. I go back in. It's still like that. And then I look and I see PGRCD on the radio. Abbreviation for page received. They were paging me. They could have done it in a nicer sound. Other buses have nice sounds when you're being paged, but not my bus. I pull the phone off, and it stops. Just as soon as I grab the receiver of the radio phone, no shriek. But it was really, it had shaken me up a bit, a little bit of darkness there. Hello, I've received a page. Oh, please switch over to auxiliary. Okay, yes. Auxiliary, I've received a page. Dispatch. Oh, okay. Oh, transit supervisor, okay. I have mail? Oh, I have mail. Thank you. All right. So then the darkness started trying to get me a little bit more, because there's an envelope waiting for me in the depot, right? There's an envelope. Now, drivers know. These envelopes are not the paychecks. They don't announce our paychecks this way. These are customer service reports, and maybe 1 out of 100 is positive. And the rest of them are not so positive. So I spent the next few hours asking myself, what is my CSR going to say? The darkness was kind of impinging upon me a bit there, because I knew it probably wasn't positive. So I open the envelope finally in the depot, and I read it, and it says, 6 weeks ago, on Quadra at Yates, a woman in a wheelchair was refused permission or refused entry on the bus during rush hour. She says that 10 other able-bodied people were allowed on the bus, but not her. And she's very upset. Okay, I'm feeling darkness right now. Are you feeling darkness? And I'm going, oh, shoot. I didn't hardly remember the incident. It was one of those situations where you have so many people coming and going. And I thought, well, I will reply. And God help me follow my own sermon and be gracious. All right. So we wrote a reply, and we said, and another thing about perspective, try to see it from the other person's viewpoint. It makes it a little better. Basically, I said, yes, it is not a nice feeling to feel excluded or overlooked or passed by. It's not a nice feeling. However, please understand, the bus more than likely had a full standing load, meaning that there were people standing where her wheelchair, in one of the only two spaces that are available for wheelchairs. And the able-bodied people who did get on the bus were able to move to locations of the bus where wheelchairs cannot. And I said, I usually do my best to get wheelchairs on my buses. I do that as a regular thing. However, this time I might have even had another wheelchair on already. And furthermore, you can get ahead of the game by skipping my bus. Because the next bus, after a heavily loaded bus, is often lightly loaded. And in fact, what frequently happens on that number 6 route up Quadra is the heavily loaded bus gets passed by the one behind it. And you could arrive at your destination before I do. So if we can try to understand people's situations and try to help them and spread a little light. Sometimes it's a battle, isn't it? Sometimes light and darkness are jockeying with each other, and you can sense your heart stretched or pulled or cooled down or whatever you want to call it. But to have the power and the ability given to you by Jesus, as you trust in him, as you put your faith in him, as you look to him in each moment, say, Lord, I want your light to come through, not your darkness. How is it with you today, friend? What's winning in your personal life? We all struggle, don't we? Is the darkness pushing in on you? Do you have Jesus to be able to back you up? Do you have Jesus? Do you call on Jesus? Have you welcomed him and received him into your heart and your life so that the Prince of Light can give you light in your life at all times when you need it most? You can be an agent of his light. Think of Jesus. He comes to a woman at a well. She's had 5 husbands, and the other women in the city don't want to have anything to do with her. And she's all by herself, and he comes and he brings his light to her. And think of Zacchaeus. He's a hated turncoat tax collector, a worker for the Romans. And Jesus sees something in his heart beyond the darkness, and he says, I'm coming to your house. And his life turns around. Matthew, the tax collector as well. God's love for Peter. Jesus has one of his followers. And unfortunately, his disciples aren't perfect either. And here's another aspect of darkness. Fear. Right? Fear. Peter is overcome with fear in the time when the enemies look like they have the upper hand. He denies his Lord. Denies he knew him. Wouldn't we think he'd be disqualified to be a disciple? Jesus' light fixes that as well. And Jesus restores Peter back to his calling as a follower of the Lord. What a wonderful thing. Friends, let us be agents of the light. You don't have Jesus, get him. Receive him. If you have Jesus, keep in touch with him. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. The fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. Amen. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, thank you so much. What if you had never come? How dark would this world be without you? Oh, Lord Jesus, praise to you that you have brought light. You have made a big difference in history, and you will make a huge difference in the future of this world. And we thank you for it. But also make a difference in our families. Make a difference in our lives. Show us how to open our hearts and lives to your light and receive it and be transformed by it. In your name, amen.